This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London podcast, and we're coming to you on the eve of the Man City game. And I say on the eve of the Man City game because it's only a few hours to go. We don't normally record our podcast this late, but it's been a very busy weekend. We've had all sorts of stuff going on. Laney's back from international duty and he's still jet lagged. So he was all over the place at the weekend, and I had lots of activity, Panthers activity, football, grassroots stuff going on at the weekend. So it's been a bit tricky. And as you know, when these games don't happen the time they're meant to happen, it does throw us off a little bit. So the Tottenham game on the Wednesday has thrown us. The Man City game on the Monday has thrown us. However, we're still here and we're going to talk to you. So hopefully you'll catch this on the way to the match as you're going to be listening to this game. It's a mini pod. We don't do many mini pods, you know what I'm saying, but this is a mini pod because, like I said to you, we just want to give a little bit brief chat about what's been happening over the past few days. Obviously, we played Tottenham at New White Hart Lane. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say New White Hart Lane, as you said. last Wednesday as well, and like I said, we're playing Man City. My name is Billy Grant and I'm sitting here in the virtual joint with my man Laney, who is actually virtually back in the country. Laney, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Good to be back in Blighty. Well, I say that, but I don't actually mean that. But yeah, I'm back home. I'm looking forward to getting to the game tonight. It's what a mouth-watering one this is. You know, we did a double over Man City last season. They don't get a lot bigger, do they, in the Prem than hosting the European champions and the Premier League title holders. So, yeah, big test, but big atmosphere, I hope. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone tonight and getting behind the boys.
That's right, getting behind the boys. Looking forward to it, like I said, under the lights, Brentford, New Griffin Park. We've got all the characters coming down tonight as well. I mean, I was a little bit... probably a little bit like you, Laney. You know, I mean, you must have been watching this from the international zone when Manchester City were playing in the Cup last week. I don't know if you're watching that at all. And I think all the Beast fans were watching that game. And the game was going to a draw, which means it would have been a replay. And because it would have been a replay, that meant that the Manchester City game would have happened actually last Saturday at 8 o'clock kickoff. And everyone that I know was absolutely potty for the 8 o'clock Saturday kickoff, because basically, you know, it would have meant a very, very long day. I mean, I would have come straight off the pitch in Ruislip. We were playing over in Ruislip probably at midday, headed straight to Brentford, and we would have had 8 hours of non-stop chat and a bit of beverage action. And unfortunately, the goal that they scored, Manchester City, meant that the game has now happened on the Monday. And as much as I do like matches under the lights, this is a different under the lights on a Monday night. You know, a lot of our mates can't make it down because they live out of town. And a lot of, you know, there's a little bit of late action. People get into the pub and just build up. So I'm hoping the atmosphere will still be there because it is Manchester City, but it's not quite the same.
No, it's not quite the same. But yeah, you know, if you can't get up for these games, then what are you going to get up for? To be honest with you, it's you know, this is the reason we're here, to pit ourselves against the very best. And it's a brilliant barometer to see where we're short. And like every team's going to be short, really, against Man City. You know, on their day, they're going to beat anyone in this division. But football just throws these banana skins in, and I just, we saw last year that for some reason we had the nous and the talent to shove banana skins underneath them and clinching the double in the against them in the last home game of the season was just an exceptional achievement. And you know, there's every chance they're going to rub our noses in it tonight, but again, you know, Thomas Frank and his coaching team and the players will know that they're able to give it a good go. And now we've got Ivan back, and you know, we've got our strongest, you know, strongest striker up top. There's a chance that we can create problems. We create problems against every single team in this division, and we'll talk about Tottenham in a minute. But it's another game where we lost, but we could have, should have got something out of. So you know, it's as I said, these games really massively excite me. And if you're not up for this, you're not going to be up for anything.
No, not at all. I mean, and like I said to you, let's just go back actually to last Wednesday, because we played Tottenham. Bees made Tottenham at New Light White Hart Lane. And it was a game where, to be quite honest with you, it was, you know, a lot of people weren't holding out much hope for Brentford. You know, Tottenham are doing fairly well. They're probably slightly underperforming as to where they should be. But still, they're right up there. You know, the problem that we've got at Brentford is, and I'll say the problems that we have at Brentford is defensively, we still seem to be letting in goals where we don't really want to be. But the plus side of it is that on the attacking front, actually, we seem to be doing okay. And we've been saying that from before. We've been saying we're scoring goals. The problem we've got is letting in goals. And if we can actually kind of solve that defensive conundrum, I think we'll be in good shape. And that's why, again, I'm not worried about where our position is. We've got between now and May to sort ourselves out. I think, if anything, teams like Crystal Palace, who lost quite heavily at the weekend to Brighton, the big rivals, I mean, that must have actually gutted them. And there's lots of talk about, you know, lots of people that I respect who just said it's all over for Roy. I can't see it anymore. You know, the moves that he's made, he's just kind of lost it for us. So I think that, you know, they're in a bigger pickle than what we are. And obviously Nottingham Forest, you know, they managed to scrape together a result against Bournemouth down at Bournemouth, so they've got a point there. But you know, I think they're one or two points below us, and we've got a couple of games in hand. Obviously, one of them is this Man City game, but it's not what this Man City. We've still played two games less than them between now and May, basically. That's kind of where we're at the moment. So we're going to have to catch up one stage. So whether or not it's Man City, whether or not it's Sheffield United, we're going to have to play all these games anyway. So the fact is that we have actually played two games less than them. So we're going to catch up those two games at the end of the season. So I think people should stop looking at the next game and go, oh my God, we've just lost the next game, we've just lost the game in hand. It doesn't work like that. It works over the season. So Nottingham Forest fans, I think, are going to be rather nervous. And Luton, okay, Luton seem to be doing okay, and they're picking up a few points here and there, and they seem to be up for the battle and probably seem to have got to grips with this Premier League. But I'm telling you, it's a long, long way to go. And like I said to you, coming back to this Tottenham game, we played Tottenham, and to be quite honest with you, in the first half, we probably should have been quite clear, actually, shouldn't we, Laney?
Yeah, we should have done. You know, we had a goal disallowed, rightly. You know, Rosliff found the back of the net. There was a couple of other good chances. We got a little bit lucky, I guess, with the goal. Morpay did really well to follow the chance in, but it kind of took deflection off one leg and the other leg, and you know, it ended up in the back of the net. So fair play to him for having the tenacity to get into the area.
Sorry to interrupt you, Laney, but to be fair, I mean, Ivan Toney did come in and he took the shot. And I think this is quite interesting, because I think that Ivan Toney actually hesitated. It was almost very not Ivan Toney-esque. He was there one-on-one with the keeper, and I thought that he took an extra step and that actually enabled the keeper to pull in a save, whereas beforehand he would have gone in and gone bang and it would have been in the back of the net. So I thought that should have been a goal by Ivan Toney as opposed to Malpay.
Yeah, possibly, yeah, yeah. I think he was caught between two thoughts, yeah. I mean, I think Malpay was unmarked, but he realised that the defender was kind of caught in between. The defender hadn't come across and got in his way, so he was literally one-on-one with the goalkeeper. And yeah, I mean, you can't blame him for taking a shot. Equally, you couldn't blame him for passing to his teammate who was arguably in a better position, but or an equally strong position. So taking the shot was the right one, but yeah, it fell, you know, nicely in brackets. But then they had the rub of the green early in the second half. They had a couple of their goals fell very nicely as well. So I just thought, you know, that we did so well in the first half. The defensive lines were strong. We frustrated. You know, Tottenham fans said that we wasted a lot of time, but you know, you got to do that at those places. You know, it's being professionals. You know, no one's going to go toe to toe for 90 minutes. The game, the way it ended, you know, towards the end of the match, we were doing what Tottenham did to us at the beginning of the second half. It was one way traffic. It was the Alamo, and they changed their formation. They put five at the back because they couldn't cope with us. So, you know, we unfortunately let ourselves down by that mad 7 or 8 minutes at the beginning of the second half. If one or two of those don't go in, if one of those doesn't go in, we get a point out of that, or we win it, because you know Ivan had another great chance where he slipped and you know he got up and then he dragged his shot to the left hand side of the far post. Then obviously Shandon Baptiste had he should have scored. And you know there was other sort of half chances, but then you know you're up against an incredible attacking pacey team, you know. And the other talking point, as funny as it was, Morpay doing the old darts celebration, I think that backfired massively. You know, it's as funny as it was and as shithousy as it is, it riled them, and you could see it gave them an extra incentive. I think you just got to take your goal. You know, you obviously got to enjoy it, but Ivan's, when he took his goal, he didn't celebrate at all, did he? I think he was just absolutely knackered, to be honest with you. I don't think he had the energy to do that. He looked out on his feet.
So interestingly, I mean, this celebration was obviously talked about. I tell you who's been talking about that celebration, of course, is the Forest fans, who just seem to be completely and utterly fixated with anything we do now. You know what I'm saying? And obviously they're like, kind of, you know, they're coming back to me saying, Brennan Johnson did you there, and this, that, and the other. Now, the question we have is that, okay, Neil Maupay, we love his antics, we love his activity. Is it also costing us? Okay, now we're not saying, listen, sometimes when you get creatives, you can't stop creative being a creative, because if you do that, you take away what is good about what they're about. You know what I'm saying? Now, Neil Maupay, you know, you get the package. You know, he runs around, he scores goals, he tackles, he does assists as well, and he shithouses. Okay, that's what he does. If you start to take that away from him, are you sort of taking away the Neil Maupay-ness of him? He even admitted, I think, in the press conference afterwards, I probably went a little bit early with that when he was talking about the celebration. And if you think about it, you know, it was quite, you know, it was quite early in the second half, like, you know, in that celebration, in the first half, when that went off. And maybe he's kind of admitted thinking, maybe if I'd scored that in the second half, it might have been a little bit better, because it's given Tottenham time to actually kind of get themselves riled up, get their fans riled up, get themselves into the game. There was also another scenario where was it Aston Villa? Was the game, or what game was it as well, where also he was involved in sort of kind of the winding up and the falling over and all that kind of stuff? And I think we're...
The Martinez, the goalkeeper. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the Aston Villa game, and that ended up being quite, I mean, it's ended up, I'm not saying it's all him, but you know, it ended up costing us £180,000. I mean, there's a, you know, we got fined £175,000, and Aston Villa got fined £180,000 for all the malarkey that has happened in the Aston Villa game, where everybody kind of ended up getting riled up. Ollie Watkins got riled up, you know, the players were giving it large all over the place. Interestingly, some people make a comment saying, you know, £180,000 for that, the fracas, and well, let's say it wasn't the fracas, but it's more kind of the incidents in that. But if you don't see teams getting charged for racist abuse, right? So anything near that. I mean, I'm just throwing that into the pot to show kind of where the levels are at. Anyway, but just coming back to this one, we're talking about Neil Maupay now. There's an argument I've seen people going around there saying that Neil Maupay could have cost us at least a point against Aston Villa because of us, you know, getting them rolled up, the whole rolled up situation. And also maybe at Tottenham as well, it may have cost us a point. Do you think it's as deep as that, Laney?
I think they're linked, especially the Tottenham one. I think Ollie Watkins is the one that is, you know, more to blame than the Aston Villa one, you know, taking exception to something that one fan can't be proven to have said anything. You know, whether he, you know, let's assume that he did say something, but you know, he must have had bionic bat like hearing to pick out what was being said, because you know, I can't hear what's being said by people or shouted by people a couple of rows back. He obviously completely and utterly overreacted, and then what happened, where there was a chain reaction, and you know it turned into a brawl, which sort of followed over into another one later on. It created a lot of ill feeling, and I think that was triggered by Ollie Watkins. He did it again at Sheffield United. Did you notice? He scored his goal, and he went over and he started laughing and smuggy kind of big smile and a bit of a hand to his ear, listening to the Sheffield United home fans, who hadn't probably said anything at all. He seems to have added a bit of like arrogance to his game as well. I don't know what's going on there, but you know, I thought, bloody hell, he's up to it again, you know. So I don't think, you know, and going back to what Neil Maupay did. He did exactly that. He did the darts thing to the Spurs fans. He didn't do it to Maddison's face. He did it, you know, he did it to the Spurs fans. And I'm thinking, hold on a minute, Neil. What are the Spurs fans done to, you know, do you know what I mean? So I agree that I come run
maybe,
up the other
end. Maybe he got abused there when he was at Brighton.
Possibly, but just run down the other end and celebrate with your own fans, eh? You know, let's get back to keeping like the Brentford vibe, you know, big. You know, the support I thought at Tottenham was excellent. The noise generated by the away end was brilliant. Run over to the away end and clap them and what have you. Don't do that. You know, I'm not being a killjoy, but what I am saying is, you know, I just don't like this. It seems to be a bit of a trait at the moment of picking arguments with fans in the crowd that have done nothing really. So, you know, it's a bit odd. But yeah, I think it did have an impact. I think the halftime chat by in the Tottenham dressing room would have been like, let's get out there and rub their noses in it. And that's exactly what they did. You know, they took us to the cleaners for 10 minutes, but fair play to us. You know, we dug deep. They gifted us a goal, thankfully. It was, you know, I think Ivan Toney took it really well, and it did actually look like he was camouflaged. I didn't see him lurking there, and I thought, you know, and then we had those other chances that came later on. So, you know, you take one of those goals away from Tottenham, and we've scored two. You score two away, you should be getting a point, and it's just another one of those games. I'm being a bit bored of Brentford have given away more points from leading positions than any other team in the division. I think you have to take into account that that means we start quite strongly, even without Ivan Toney and Brian and Bumo. And, you know, we just tire, I think, is the answer. And we can't keep that up for 90 minutes. But now we've got players, you know, our A team in brackets coming back. There's more chance that we can be dangerous for 90 minutes rather than 45. But I think we've done enough in a lot of these games that we've lost to give us hope. And you know, I think you're right. You know, it's the tendency is to still look over your shoulder when the gap between us and the drop zone is only a few points. Both our games in hand are against Man City, so we assume that we're probably going to get not a lot out of those. I can't think anyone's going to bet much money on getting 6 points out of those like we did last year. You know, if we can get one, if we can get three, that would be incredible. We're not expected to get any, but there's more chance of us getting something out of Wolves next weekend. Although they beat Chelsea. Well, we smashed Chelsea as well. So you know, it's like most teams do at the moment. You know, so yeah, you know, there's points to be had, and you know, Everton, Burnley, Sheffield United, Luton, they're in a bit of a run, Luton, but they still look weak at the back. Forest possibly going to get a points deduction on top of that. You know, it might be tight, but you know, you mentioned Crystal Palace as well. You know, there's probably a good chance of most of those being behind us, and you know, for us to be, you know, in you know, Burnley and Sheffield United, they're not going to make up the 10 points and the 9 points that separate them from us. We're only fighting for one more position probably, and Everton with their deduction and Forest with a looming deduction, they've got to be favourites to take that. So you know, let's not be complacent. I don't think we will be, but there's enough quality in our team, and there's enough talent coming back. You know, we got Reguilon, although he's you know, he's with us, he's only played a bit part so far because he couldn't turn out for against Tottenham. It's going to be tough tonight, but we've just got to get this game out of our way and start concentrating on games where we're expected to get points and make sure we do.
Talking about the A team as well, you say the A team is back. I mean, obviously Ivan Toney is back, and he scored 2 goals in 2 games. Now that's not bad. It's not a bad start. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
If this carries on, you'd be able to tell me, Lainey, actually, I haven't done the research here. I mean, how many games we've got left? I believe we've probably got about 18, we've probably got about 15 games left, probably, or something like that, you know. So he could you think he's going to go on and score 15 goals? what do you reckon?
We had this conversation, didn't we? When you know, before the Forest game, we sort of said, you know, he's got a number of goals in his head, and what is that number? And I said, you know, he's thinking of 12, and you said you're thinking of 10. Yeah. You know, and then you said, you know, oh, well, you've got to double that because, you know, but no, you haven't got to double that. It's just 10 over the remaining games. That, you know, obviously.
Yeah, so if it was the whole season, he would have got 20, basically, is what we're saying. And you said,
yeah, of course, but if it was over two, if over two seasons, you times it by four. But we're talking about 10 or 12 goals in what remains.
It was actually 19 games at the time.
Yeah,
so
he's got
games.
17 left, and he's got 2 already. But I mean, you know, I think 10, if he can hit that 10 mark, that's going to get us probably 3 wins, 4 wins, possibly, you know, depending if we can get our shit together at the back, yeah. then that's probably going to get us well over the line. You know, the important thing is if he can stay injury free. He looked like he was holding his calf a couple of times, but I think he's finding the 90 minutes at Premiership pace quite difficult after so much time out. You can prep all you want, but it's the heat of the battle is when you actually push your body to the limit. You know, he'll get there. He's had an extra day or two because, you know, we didn't play out the weekend and it's Monday night. So hopefully he was able to recover. Hopefully he's fit. We rely on him. And I think we're going to, you know, the great thing is that he's here for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I'm confident that he's the ingredient that is going to provide safety. And, you know, if we can get Brian and Bumo back quickly-ish and some of the other walking wounded, then it's only going to get better for us. So, I'm confident, Bill.
Yeah, and talk about the A-team back as well. We're talking about Wiesa as well, who's over in Africa at the moment now. And he's doing very well. You know, his team, the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, they've got through to the semi-finals of the African Cup of Nations, and they're playing South Africa, who is one of my teams that I've been following for over the years, actually. But they're playing them in the semi-finals of the AFCON, which is cool, which is, I'm not being funny, they've got a massive chance of getting through to the final. And Wiesa has been getting good plaudits. Also, he had an Ivan Toney-esque penalty that he took. He was very cool, and he took that as well and scored that to help them to get through. And Wiesa can come out of this with flying colours, couldn't he, Lainey?
Yeah, sorry to be a pedant. Congo have got Ivory Coast. They've got Ivory Coast on Wednesday.
I was talking about Nigeria, about South Africa. And I was going to talk about Nigeria as well. Sorry, so it's no pedantry. Yeah. So I haven't, as you can see, we don't normally do a script for this. We literally off the top of our heads, and we just come together and we just pull and we just chat. So you know, some of the corrections and some of the mistakes are in there, but this is all part of the Besotted podcast, isn't it? It's like, you know what I'm saying. So, but yes,
it's what,
you're
you,
right.
it's what you've grown to expect and love about us. And then obviously we've got Simon Ghoddos. He's in the semi-finals with Iran in the Asian Cup. So, yeah, we've got a lot of semi-finals. A lot of Brentford fans probably rightly wanted to get all our players out of the competition and get them back. But, you know, the way it is at the moment, we hopefully get winning players back, that their values boosted and they come back in form.
Yeah, but again, we talked about this in the last week's podcast, but Frank the Tank Onyeka as well. He's with Nigeria playing South Africa in the semi-finals, the other semi-final of AFCON. I mean, we could technically get Wisa and Frank the Tank playing against each other in the final, which will be quite interesting. And so I think a lot of Bees fans, if that does happen, will be tuning in for that. But I think the interesting thing now is that when Frank the Tank went off to AFCON, you're thinking, yeah, send him off to AFCON because we don't need him. And now I think people are going, oh, let's get Frank the Tank back, because actually he's done some really good things out there, and hopefully he'll be able to sort of do that on the pitch. And the same thing with Wisa as well, where a lot of people say, he's a bit of an impact player, but he's gone out there and he's kind of shown against, you know, sort of fairly decent opposition that he can actually hold his own. And people are thinking, God, I can't wait for him to come back, because with him and Tony and maybe Maupay coming off the bench, this could be actually a really interesting combination, like, you know what I'm saying. So, you know, we've only got a couple of weeks to go, probably the Arsenal game. I don't know if they might be back for the Arsenal game, but the Arsenal game, the Liverpool game, sorry, not the Arsenal game, which is going to be in a couple of weeks' time, that could be the game where we could see quite a lot of change, couldn't we, Laney?
Yeah, it's when we get stronger. I mean, again, you know, I don't want to be a pedant, and like, it's you hope they all return back uninjured. You know, the semi-finals of the Asian Cup is Jordan versus South Korea, and then you've got Iran versus Qatar. So, I mean, I guess probably Iran must be just the favourites to get through to the final. So, again, you know, if a player's have to go to these tournaments, you want them to do well. And I just think, you know, although I guess that Ghoddos is out of contract at the end of the season, but there's, you know, he's proved the kind of player that we kind of was head scratching ourselves, and the reason we probably let him go at the tail end of last season was he never really emerged as pretty much anything. I don't think anyone could really, you know, describe him as what he did and what he actually really brought to the team. I know he had, you know, he was versatile. I know he had a lot of passion, and I know he tried hard, but he wasn't the player that we chased for two or three transfer windows and then eventually got. I'm not sure exactly really what he was, and it's the same with Frank the Tank, really. So if the bonus from this is that they've played themselves into form, and we've actually looked at how the national team have used them, and we can actually kind of maybe, you know, put them in the position where they flourish there, then all well and good. So I think maybe it'd be better if we had them all back quickly, but if we can't do that, then hopefully they can go long and come back in really good form.
Yeah. So let's just briefly, finally, on the Tottenham game, let's see where the strengths and weaknesses were for Tottenham. They stole the ball a lot from us, and they were effective at creating goal scoring opportunities from counter attacks, and they were strong at finishing. They committed a high number of individual errors, though. For us, we created a high number of chances relative to our possession. We stole the ball from them a lot. We also created possession from counter attacks, and we were strong at finishing. The weaknesses: we were aggressive, we lost the ball a lot, and also we were caught offside a lot as well. They had a lot of possession in our half as well. They dominated possession, they favoured short passing, whereas we attacked down the right hand side, through the middle. We liked to cross the ball and we favoured the long balls. Talking about who were the top players, according to whoscored.com, Ivan Toney, top of the pile, 7.6. Then we had Richarlison, Maddison, and Werner, 7.5 and 7.4. And Christian Norgaard came next at 7.3. Ivan Toney had the most shots with 5. Richarlison with 4, Madison with 4, Werner with 3, and Porro with 2 as well. And me was hardcore in the tackling. Top of the tacklers with the four tackles in that game as well. So, again, and Madison dribbling as well, top dribbler. So, yeah, so it's just giving you an idea of that game, which is all good. But tell you something, you know, we're just going to go and briefly talk about the Man City game. You've got Man City coming up. Everyone knows about Man City. Things have changed again. As we said, the title has changed because, you know, obviously Arsenal beat Liverpool are at the top as well. So that's obviously kind of given it a different complexion at the top of the title. So you've got Arsenal thinking they can win. You've got Manchester City thinking they're back in the game again. And you've got Liverpool fans shitting their pants now thinking, oh no, we're not going to miss it up on Klopp's last year. So anyway, listen, we're going to go to JB. He's going to give you some facts and some funk when we're looking forward to this Manchester City game.
Are you ready for this? I told you it was coming.
Who?
JB. And he's ready to stock it to you one time. Get it.
Hello, Jonathan Birchall here again. On Wednesday, we saw a reverse of our last visit to Spurs, when it was us who were a goal down at half-time, and then scored three in the second half to record a win. It was only the fourth time in our league history that we'd been 1-0 up at half-time and gone on to lose by a scoreline of 3-2. So that happens on average once every 24 years. And to prove the point, the last was in the year 2000 at home to Burnley in the Ron Nodes era. Neil Maupay has now scored in his last four League and Cup matches. He last did that for us in early 2019 with goals against Rotherham and Blackburn in the Championship and in two FA Cup ties against Barnet. In the last 16 games that Ivan Toney's played, back to last February, he was on a sequence of scoring in one and then not making the score sheet in the next. That run was broken when he made it 2-2 at Spurs. The transfer window is now closed for the season. Prior to 1974, if a club wanted to sign a player, the necessary paperwork physically had to be received at the Football League headquarters at Lytham St Annes near Blackpool. Then the facsimile machine was introduced as the cutting edge of technology, meaning transfer details could be sent by fax. And that was the norm until the last few years. Jimmy Gabriel was the first Football League player to be signed using this modern approach when he joined Brentford.
There you go, JB, facts and funk, Manchester City in the house. Coming out to New Griffin Park, Monday night, under the lights. Last time they came, we gave them a good spanking. When we played them up at their place, we spanked them right up. They're coming down to our place. They're desperate for a win. It's going to be probably slightly different than when they came down to our place because they'd already won the league by then. And we're not taking anything away from us because we still got to do a job on them. And obviously, you know, they don't like losing. But now they can see themselves getting back into the game. I've had all sorts of Liverpool friends, Arsenal friends begging us to get a result tonight because they desperately need a result from this Manchester City game from Brentford because it will put them back in the game, you know, Arsenal, whoever it may be. So for us, it's a free hit. Listen, if we lose, biggie, everyone expects us to lose. If we get a point, very nice. If we get a win, happy days, like, you know what I'm saying. So it's one of them scenarios, actually. So looking forward to it. Laney, this Manchester City team coming down. Listen, you know, we can, there's no point, everyone knows, there's no point talking about maybe ripping them to pieces and this, that, and the other, and then their players. Listen, we know what a good side they are, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. They are the best team in the world. You know, they're European champions, they're Premier League.
Leeds are European champions.
Oh, sorry, I got that wrong. Yeah. I was not Forest.
Forest are Leeds, aren't they?
Well, they claim that. Right, so Man City claim that they're European champions, yeah. And they are Premier League champions. They have Haaland in their team. They have Alvarez in their team. They have Kevin De Bruyne in their team. They have arguably the most impressive, successful coach in football at the moment, in Pep Guardiola. They are just amazing to watch. They, you know, they've got Phil Foden, they've got Grealish, they've got Rodrigo.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly, you know, the other Rico Lewis. Yeah. I don't know if he's fit or not. The fake Rico. Yeah. So you know, Edison is probably, is he the best goalkeeper in the world? You know, everywhere you look, there's world class, and we don't stand a chance if you pick our best team and their best team on a bit of paper and you work out what they're capable of doing and you just go, right, okay, it's, you would put everything you own on Man City. We know that that's not how football works. Last season proved that. We need a lot of factors to go in our favour. They need to be wasteful. They need to be error-strewn at the back. We need to take our chances. We need to be watertight. We know everyone listens to this is wise enough about football to know that they know what needs to happen for us to get a point or get a win out of this. Whether we can do three on the trot is, in my mind, beyond the realms of possibility. But, you know, I don't know. You know, until the final whistle goes, anything is still possible. We know we're unlikely to get anything out of it tonight. But, you know, it's a big game, and we've said that twice last year. You know, we looked at those games and thought, oh Jesus, we're going to get taken to the cleaners, especially up at their place. You know, as you rightly say, you know, the title was already wrapped up. They were thinking about the Champions League Cup final and not getting injured and what have you. But they still don't ever really go light on anyone. Some of their weakest teams are some of the ones where they get the biggest wins, because, you know, as I said, there's no real weakness in their squad. You know, there is clearly a preferred A team, but then you scratch below the surface and they've got Doku and players like that, and, you know, it's an embarrassment. And, you know, we can also talk about how they've got a nation behind them and how they're up. They're under investigation for basically fraud. So they might get this talk about them getting titles stripped and what have you. That's, you know, that's something for another day. But, you know, they're so strong because they've spent so much money as well. So the comparisons between our two clubs and our two teams at the moment are vast. But, you know, on 8 o'clock tonight, then, and we're all cheering, it's still 0-0, and you know, I'm expecting games of lives from our lot, and you know, let's see what happens, eh?
That's right, let's see what's happened. So Manchester City, you know, listen, just throw it in there, actually, to what they're good at. Shooting from direct free kicks, finishing scoring chances, creating long shot opportunities, defending set pieces, they're very strong at that. They're also strong at creating chances using through balls, using individual skill, attacking down the wings and attacking set pieces. Where they're weak at is protecting the lead, interestingly, and also in the air. Obviously, they like to play it on the floor as well. Their style of play, they like to possess possession football. They like to control the game in our half. They like to track through the middle. They like to take long shots, short passes. They attempt through balls often. They're not very aggressive, and normally their opponents play aggressively against them. So that gives you an idea of kind of what we're going to have to deal with today, Laney. So, you know, it's like I said to you, it's a free hit for Brentford, isn't it?
Yeah, 100% free hit. No one in the world expects us to get anything out of it, and that's normally the environment we do okay. You know, we've not let ourselves down, bar one or two games this season. And bar probably four games in the three seasons that we've been in the top flight. So I'm not expecting us to have our pants pulled down, but, you know, it's quite possible that might happen. But it's you know, as I said, I've said it 100 times, that I respect our ability to create chances, and I think we will do that tonight. Pep Guardiola, in his pre-match interview last Friday, he talked about the kind of respect that he's got for Brentford. He said that Ivan Toney is an exceptional player. He knows what we're capable of, because we beat him twice. No one did that. No one's done that. So, you know, he won't be coming into this, you know, expecting us just to literally give them the points and, you know, give them a guard of honour and say, thank you very much for visiting us. It's they're going to get a battle tonight.
That's right. So listen, Laney, give us a score prediction.
Lose 3-1.
I'm going to go 1-1 to the mighty bees. So listen. So anyway, listen, I'm going to have to shoot off, because I'm off to the game. I'm literally going off to the game. I'm actually going into town to go and see the Caribbean to Coventry two-tone exhibition, which is at the Barbican as well. So me and my mate are going to go down there, have a little look at the two-tone exhibition at the Barbican. It's going on for quite a few months, actually, so you should go and check it out. Then afterwards, we're going into Richmond to the Ted Lasso pub. Going to have a few beers down there. Going to meet Laney down there for a few beers in the Ted Lasso pub in Richmond. And then we're going to make our way to the Globe, of course, pre-match. So we've got a bit of a day, you know, and it's not even gone past midday. We're still in the morning now, so you can see I'm quite potty for it. We're starting quite early today, but that's what you should do when you've got a big game, like you say. It's a BG, like you never say. So listen, this is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. My name's Billy Grant. We've got Laney in house.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, it's not quite afternoon yet, but it will be afternoon quite soon. Don't get to see it. We've got Manchester City. We've got a big game coming up on Saturday. We're going to have to Wolverhampton Wanderers yet again, which we're going to play Manchester City.
Yeah, on your bees.
Come on, you bees. Let's go and beat the City.
No walking out at half time if we're losing.
No.
Don't do. No Sheffield United nonsense.
No. You bees.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.